to this edition of $2 Domestics with Chuckles and Philip Android. Say something, Phil.
Something. Yes, welcome back. It's been a while since we recorded last. When was the last one, even?
At least 2 weeks ago, I think. So.
Yeah, because we, was it before the wedding? After the wedding?
I think we did one more after the wedding.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Your life's a blur. It's difficult.
It really is. Between so I mean there's wedding, marriage bliss, which is all great. Life's amazing. And then I just started this summer intensive Spanish class that's usually 10 weeks, but it's condensed into 3 weeks, and it's ridiculoso. Another Spanish words. I don't know. I should know. But we'll see. Maybe I only know when I'm in the class, because like while I'm in class, I feel like I got a good handle on it. But outside of class, not so much. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I just passed my last standardized test.
Hey,
that I probably will ever have to do. In the history of the universe. So
until a demented person breaks into your home and holds a gun to your head and says, "Do the standardized test."
Oh yes, it's a. Nah, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know.
Even then, you'd be like, pull the trigger. I don't even care.
it's been a long, strange journey, and Pearson has gotten a lot of money out of me. That's all I gotta say.
Higher learning, yeah.
For sure, yeah. Work hard in school so you get scholarships, kids. Anyway.
Or marry someone who works at the university so you get a discounted rate.
Ooh, there's an idea.
It's working pretty well.
That's an idea right there. Actually, right. You know, now that I think of it, I was married during my undergrad, so I like qualified for Pell Grants and stuff.
That's pretty... sweet, sweet Pell.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, if we're going to spit out advice right now, a real talk for a second, hashtag real talk, file your FAFSA January 1st. That's actual good advice. You can say that you'll come back and fill in the actual stuff later with your taxes, but that's just good advice. File your FAFSA January 1st. Okay. Stepping back.
All right. I think I remember that, too, from when I was a... undergrad, that was like the way to do it, and I don't remember why.
I can tell you why, actually. So what it is that it puts you, it saves your spot in line. So if you're eligible for need-based grants, it's just, you know, it's a first-come, first-served type of thing of all people who qualify. But, you know, if you don't fill it out until, like, June or something, you're not gonna, all the money's gonna be gone at that point. But if you fill it out early enough, there we go, and qualify, you kind of hold your spot in line. So, the things that you pick up around financial aid professionals.
Right.
are we going to get into the very first question from a listener?
Oh, yeah. Very first question comes from... Mike Pacific, and to be honest, this question, I'm surprised coming from him, because it has nothing to do with olives or cake. So,
is there a pun embedded in there that we're not, it's one of those things I have to read it over a couple times just to make sure there's not like a bad joke.
See if he's setting us up for a really horrible pun.
And if so, mad props to him.
Yeah, so this is...
I love a good terrible pun.
Yeah, so this is Mr. Idiots and Morons himself, Mike Pacific. and he's asking us, which of the current GOP candidates would scare you least as president? And most as well.
Can they be the same person?
So you're saying that the same... that there's going to be one person in the field that scares you the least and the most?
Well, yeah, because, Donald Trump. Because I can, at the exact same time, can't take him seriously, but am terrified of his really, like, his fans. So, him like, he doesn't seem like he has a consistent train of thought. Like, I mean, he's just going to probably spend the first term trying to prove that Obama doesn't have a birth certificate. But his followers, his constituents, I don't know. So
yeah, I think I could see what you're saying. Whereas, like, policy-wise, like, Donald Trump isn't that threatening, because if he became president, like, it would just kind of be standard operating procedure. You know, like, all the people around him.
Or it would just speed up the revolution, because things actually just wouldn't happen. I don't know. Like, I have zero confidence that he could even keep things running.
But that's the thing, though. So, like, I can see kind of your thought process in that sense, where it's like, all right, like, he's pretty harmless. He's just wanting publicity, whatever. But yeah. I think the part that would be really scary is that he's actually going to end up, like, validating all the crazies in the world, because they're like, look, there's somebody who represents my views in the White House. Like, that would be the real problem.
That's a good point. And I also have a feeling, kind of like, who was it, Herman Cain, who I'm convinced was just, like, the most beautiful troll that elections have ever seen. It just seemed like he would just say ridiculous thing after ridiculous thing just to fuck with people. And at the end, I mean, like, he stepped out. He never said it was a joke, but, like, it had to have been a joke, right? He, like, referenced and quoted, he quoted a Pokemon movie.
Are you talking about Herman Cain?
I'm talking about Herman Cain.
Yeah, because I remember when Rachel Maddow, like, thought that he was just an art project.
She kind of convinced me. I watched that exact video, and honestly, after that point, I didn't take him seriously before, but, like, there's a new level of not taking him seriously.
Yeah.
His 999 economic thing, that was stolen from Sims, right? You know, like, so it's one of the things that, and after that, I assume that Trump's in the same level.
Yeah. Maybe in the absence of Herman Cain, like, the GOP was like, we need somebody who's ridiculous to come out here and make us all seem sane.
Yeah. The other thing to worry about, though, with Trump is, so, like, when he spouts off ridiculous racist shit, he loses funding and support for his business. Like, and that's fine, and that's great, and that's awesome. You know, if his sponsors should leave, you know, businesses should stay away from him. But if he does that as a president, it's not like companies just, like, stop working with the U.S. Like, that's just going to start wars. So actually, yeah, so this is another example of, like, scaring me the least and scaring me the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. We're talking about, thanks a lot, Pacific. We're talking about politics.
Blame Pacific, man. It's his fault. He's the one that asked the question, and that was our first ever listener question.
We had to take it. We had to answer the question, because it's the first time
we've ever been confronted with that issue. So there you have it. Donald Trump is the least threatening and also the most threatening or scary. So, all right, let's move on. So let's start out with the Open Cup, because here's the deal, Phil. You actually talked about how you wanted to see the Chicago Fire and the Philadelphia Union in the final, because you think that would be the most hilarious turn of events in the history of U.S. soccer. That's pretty much spot on to what you said, right?
Well,
no hyperbole whatsoever.
The second most hilarious after the Sounders losing in the Open Cup against us. So that will kind of always be the most hilarious, that tantrum ripping it up and everything. I think having those two teams advance, it's funny because it's hilarious and ridiculous, but also familiar and comforting somehow.
Because, like, any crappy team could win a game, you know what I mean? Like, that's the joy of sports, is that it's, like, it's unwritten drama, right? So, like, at any point, no matter how bad a team is, they could theoretically win.
They could win the U.S. Open Cup. Like, you know, so I kind of would love it if memory serves, I think overall I'd pick Chicago. I wanted both of those teams to advance to the final, but in the end, I think I want Chicago. Is that still possible? What's the field look like for the Open Cup right now?
So we're in the semifinal, and you have Philadelphia facing Chicago, and then you have Sporting Kansas City facing Real Salt Lake. So basically, what I'm saying is, whoever wins out of Chicago and Philadelphia is gonna lose to either Sporting Kansas City or Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake sucks this year.
And aren't they the team that lost to DC United?
They did lose to DC United. They always make these good runs in the Open Cup, but they've still not sealed the deal.
Yeah, so if Real Salt Lake could make it to the final again and then lose to the worst team in the league, that kind of would make me happy. I don't know.
No, lose to the worst team in the league again.
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 Maybe that's just because I'm a mean person. I don't know. When's that game?
You know, I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Oh, okay. You were reading from it like I didn't know if...
I don't know. You know what? This is my terrible confession as a soccer fan. I basically wait to see who's tweeting about what games, and then I see if it's like I can watch it for free, and then I watch it.
That's the best way to take advantage of the community surrounding it, which is frankly the best part of soccer.
Right.
Like, I mean, the game itself is okay, I guess. But, you know, making stupid jokes and talking about it to other people, like, frankly,
yeah,
I'm all for that.
So here's the deal, though. We can't disregard Chicago right off the bat, because they are coming off of the 2-0 win on Dallas.
Yeah, the best team in the league. I mean, the way they've been playing, yeah, so it's... Which is why I'm a little scared for tomorrow night.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Which, it's a game I unfortunately won't be able to watch live. I'm going on a field trip to Mount St. Helens on Saturday, and the night before...
Care like we do there, Phil. Care like we do.
Care like we... I'm busy actually going to Thorns games. Chuckles, how's that going for you?
Hey, you know what? You need to... You need to watch your mouth, mister.
You know, honestly,
I've been to 3 Thorns games this entire season, which coincidentally is the same amount of games that I have missed consecutively since Seattle, I think. Or did I miss another game? For the Timbers. Basically what I'm saying is I've missed a lot of games. Actually, I've missed the last 4 home games, I think, yeah. So yeah, I hate the Timbers. I hate soccer. Soccer's stupid.
I know nothing about soccer except that it's stupid. We need to extend that hashtag.
It's dumb. It has given me a load of credit card debt, a lot of heartache.
A belly
that extends beyond your wildest imaginations, and I just don't even know what to do with myself anymore. Soccer has ruined me.
We need a support group. Actually, that's what the army is, right? Though it's a support group of everyone getting together.
Yeah, people think it's like this wild party of, you know, people who love soccer, but no, these supporters groups, these are all really just support groups. Like, they're not supporter groups, they're support groups for people that have the same affliction and same addiction.
Exactly. They're all addicted. They can't stay away. And look what it's done to their life. And oh my God, you're suffering too. Let's drink.
All right. So this one comes from my friend Nick. He says, are you going to transcribe this? And if not, why do you hate deaf people?
Oh, shit.
Because podcasts are not accessible to people who have hearing impairments.
If we, I don't know. I hadn't realized that I hated deaf people. Until just now. If we uploaded this onto YouTube, doesn't it automatically transcribe it?
I think it can, but it has a really hard time picking up, it's really confusing. Like, it doesn't use good English. So what we'd need to do, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, is we could do it by hand, right? Like, that's okay. Not, you know, we're millennials. We can type a lot of words in a minute. But I think one of the things that I have considered doing is maybe trying text-to-speech, like, while we're doing it. And then, you know...
So you mean speech-to-text?
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah. And that way,
Are you going to type your response and have a computer talk for you?
The thing is, it would still require a lot of editing to do it that way. So I'm not sure. But I have been thinking about it. So,
what actually needs to happen is one of our other listeners might need to type it out, and then we will give them credits on the show, which is obviously a very valuable prize. And, you know, the other 10 people who listen to it will know that you're that solid person.
Yeah. But no, that is, I want to shout out to Nick, and hopefully I do have the time to transcribe this, that is something that I've been thinking about quite a bit, actually. Because I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but part of my career is centered around creating accessible environments for people with disabilities. So it hasn't left my brain that podcasting is a pretty exclusive practice. So
it is. Well, and also it's something that I should have realized as well, because in my current job, making sure that the place that I work at is also accessible. So I should have realized this as well. So this is a good learning. It's a good learning moment.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe what I'll do is, since I don't have anything else going on tonight, maybe I'll transcribe this one. And try it by hand and then go from there.
The other thing to consider right now, though, is actually whether or not it's worth transcribing. You know, like, if we're doing everyone who can't actually hear it a favor by not making it accessible, because this really is not high quality stuff.
It is true. But I will say that's a privileged stance to have, because you're making that decision for other people. Because you're able to hear how bad this is, and so therefore, in your position of privilege, you're sitting there saying, well, maybe they won't like this. But you still need to provide that access.
Exactly. We should let them decide for themselves. But also, I mean, once they can hear it and read it, I'm sorry.
Once they can hear it or read it, they'll realize how bad it actually is.
Exactly. So, so we see, look at this. I guess you can't really, like, talk about multiplications of zero for comments, because we've only ever had zero before this moment. But, look at that. Look at all this, this listener interaction, which feels real time for us, but they won't hear it until later.
Okay, so he actually sent us, Nick just said, he's like, I'm not serious, so probably he does know how terrible this really is, but but he said, here's a tutorial to check it out, so I'll definitely look that over, because that is something that I do care about, so, but two questions. We've talked about Donald Trump and accessibility.
Well, all right.
What else can we talk about? I guess soccer, right? Isn't that what we're kind of about here? So yeah, so that's the Open Cup. That's where we're at in terms of the Open Cup standings.
Yes.
So it's basically Sporting Kansas City is with Real Salt Lake, and then Philadelphia Union versus Chicago Fire. All right, there. Open Cup, done.
Open Cup accomplished.
All right. But then let's talk about MLS and how... what do you want to talk about with MLS? There's a lot of different routes we can go.
There really is. It's like I haven't been able to watch a ton of games. I mean, as is always, like, this last, like, month, I feel like I've consumed less soccer than I have in a long time. Sebastian Giovinco, kind of insane.
Yeah, let's just talk about that for a second. So, yeah. So he became the highest scorer in Toronto FC history with his hat trick. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah. I think that, is he at 16 now? The funny thing is, so it seems like oh, like, that shouldn't be too hard. But then you look, Darrow is actually, he was a great player.
And he had Darrow.
Yeah, he had 15.
Yeah.
So, and he still has, like, 13 games left. It's kind of crazy. Like, I don't necessarily want to buy into the Kool-Aid Don Garber in Toronto is peddling with the fact that Giovinco is a game changer, but he's kind of like a game changer. I mean, not just on the field, which he undoubtedly is, but as far as that level of signing for the league, it's insane. Like, it's he's that good. He's in his prime. He's in the league. The fact that he is in this league, you know, so, I don't know, the amount of people talking about MLS now, and not just him, I suppose, this whole summer, actually, has been, and this year, the presence of this league worldwide has just multiplied. That in combination with all of the broadcasting deals that they're signing, like, all around the world. Like, I was just having this conversation yesterday. About how just how quickly the league is gaining momentum. I'm not saying that Donnie G has everything right, or that all this momentum is even going in the right direction, but just the fact that more people around the world are talking about it, it's definitely an improvement. Or an upgrade. Upgrade is, I think, actually the phrase we're supposed to say.
Yeah, upgrade.
Yeah, so, I mean, verbal diarrhea at you. I don't know how or if you want to respond to that, but...
I'll respond to it. I mean, like, this is the deal. I mean, as real as it gets, he's had 16 goals, right? That's cool. But he also leads the league in shots at 122, which, you know, is kind of a weak stat because you're like, well, what kind of shots? But then when you narrow it down to shots on goal, he's at 52, and so he's still leading the league and in terms of shots on goal and shots. And then on top of it, he's also number 4 in assists.
Yeah, which is
so
insane.
He's not just like a selfish center forward; like he's a just good all-around player that makes his team better.
He's not Defoe, who before, like, when he wasn't injured for Toronto, he was doing really well. I mean, I think he had something like 11 goals in, you know, like 5 games or something, but his assist numbers weren't that great. He actually plays for the team, it seems like, and can just take a game on his back and run with it and make the players around him better. It's and on top of that, I captained him this week in my fantasy team.
Yeah, which is lame. I'll just say that.
He's got another game, and he already has a hat trick. Like, it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, so it kind of makes up for the fact that I have Laurent Simon, who has been another amazing player in this league for Montreal, and he got a red card this week, so lost some points there.
Well, I don't even want to talk about it because I bit the bullet and picked up Kamara, right?
Oh, yeah. He had to buy next week, dude.
No, I've done it. I mean, I picked him up a few weeks ago, right?
Oh, I remember talking about this on the pod. Yeah.
But, of course, the moment I did, you know, he's gone back to human strength. So, like... He's not putting up hat tricks like Giovinco, but, you know, I mean, I think
Kyle Larin, who is another player that has been really impressive this year.
Wait, say that again? Sorry, I was busy reading our viewer questions.
Kyle Larin, the Canadian forward for Orlando, who's a rookie this year and has 11 goals, which is only, like, 2 or 3 off the record for rookie all-time. But it looks like Canada actually has a good player besides, you know, Wilson. Like, you know, it's not that they haven't had good players. It's just the, like, explosive offensive player that they've been lacking since Darrow was...
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, the last one was what, you know, De Rosario, so...
Yeah, I mean, and I guess they have a couple... I mean, I'm not an expert on Canadian soccer, but it's one of those things that they haven't had a really exciting player in a long time, and Laren looks like the kid who's going to be that, and he's super young, and it's one of those things that I heard someone talk about it the other day. I think it was on the Soccer Morning podcast. Jason Davis was saying that on a team that has Kaká, he's been almost as influential offensively as Kaká, which is insane. So,
yeah, he's currently sitting at fourth. So, I mean, he's had more goals than Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
So, and that's five out from Giovinco. So it's not, like, I don't think he's going to win the Golden Boot this year, but that's really impressive.
No. I mean, he pretty much already has his name on the Rookie of the Year award, though. I mean, barring some horrendous injury and knocking on wood. Sorry, Orlando City fans, sorry, Canada, if I jinx this. But, he's been one of the other players that I've been really impressed with. And he had a hat trick, 3 weeks ago. And then the next game, he had two goals, which is insane. Mm-hmm. So, that's the other thing, too, is that, of his 11 goals, he had 5 goals in 2 games, but that's still impressive.
Yeah.
So,
do you know who's not in the top 5 of goals and shots on goal and assists?
Chris Boyd?
Any Timbers.
We score by committee. Honestly, even in 2013, when we played great, we didn't have. I mean, apart from so Valeri was amazing, right? And this was it 12 goals, 12 assists, or something.
Yeah, he had a career year.
That was an amazing year. But if you look at the rest of the players around him, we had 4 players over 10 goals, I think, with a couple others at 8. So I think, as much as we could use one guy to come in and bang in 15 or 20, then that would really help. Obviously, any team could use that. I think that the way that Timbers are set up is to kind of spread it around when things are going well.
Let me slow you down, though. That's how it used to be, and that's how it was. But where we've screwed up this season, and I honestly firmly believe this, is that it's the switching of tactics, right? Like, there was that whole article about how Caleb Porter is going from Pep to Josie, and it's like, I mean? You can't sell, but I'm like pulling out my hair right now because they built this whole team around these like quality midfielders, and then they're like, well, we need to bring in like real target forwards, and need to bring in like clutch goal scorers and like build the team around that, and really going to those long ball, like not building possession out of the back stuff. And it's like, it's not as fun to watch. It's not as fun to watch. Your team's not nearly as scary as it used to be because you know where the ball's going.
I think on one hand, yes, I agree with that.
Let me finish. Like, my big disclaimer of that is that I know that I think Caleb Porter was making those decisions out of necessity, because the big three that, like, honestly, when you look at the last, in those years, right, where they were scoring by committee, you had, Will Johnson, Diego Valeri, and Rodney Wallace were top goal scorers,
Don't forget Nagby that one year, too.
And those three suffered horrible injuries, and they haven't bounced back yet. So, like, yep. I understand where the thought process is, where they're like, you know what, like, we actually have to kind of, we have to cope is what it is.
And I think it's one of those things where it's not, I don't think we're 100% fully going with the hoof and run. I think what we're doing is fleshing out a plan B that's going to work if plan A doesn't. So the early part of the season sucked, right? Because we were missing a lot of players to injury. Our system wasn't working how it did before with these players because they're injured. convincing, and we didn't have a convincing plan B until we kind of started this long ball running after over the top. Like, it started to work for us, but imagine if we had to, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I think that when everyone's back healthy again, and it's like, you know, Valeri kind of goes back to Valeri, like, he gets out of this rut. If we can get some solidity and consistency, and people start playing right, we'll have two options. We'll be able to go with the Pep, but switch over to the Josie.
But I just, this is the part that, as a fan, that just makes me not excited, though. Is it's like, they don't do anything with the ball, and they like don't advance at all, unless it's Nagby or Chara running for like 30 to 40 yards, you know, like, and then there's like no pass, like, you know what I mean, like there's no final pass, and it's just I don't know, I would like to see them connect three or more passes in any offensive attack, like that would be ideal.
Well, hopefully it's going that way. I think, I'm pretty stoked on Milano. I'm excited for him. I'm excited about the idea of it.
He is fast.
He is. And if he can, I mean, so like, you know, his first couple touches that he had as a Timber were like atrocious, right? But, you know, it's one of those things. He's not used to the team. He's getting in, I think. I have the feeling that he's one of the final pieces to fall in place. And then if we can get Will and Shara healthy, if Valeri's playing well, if Nagby continues to kind of improve as the year goes on, and then we have Milano and, say, Adi or Urdi, either one, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like things are about to cheer and settle into something amazing. Or fall apart. I don't know. I guess maybe it's riding that edge of uncertainty. It's like the hopeful.
Yeah, and I mean, and there's enough people right now that are like pointing to the smoke, and like we feel this, you know, like we've seen this happen, and we've seen this character shift before in Portland, and I think there are people that have already started thinking, like, you know, Caleb's mailing it in, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's over, like. You know, the Caleb Porter era is done, and he's going to move on because Gavin Wilkinson sucks or whatever. Like, that's like, the Portland fans' mindset right now. And to be honest, like, you can say it's unfair, but it's like, look at the MLS era, you know? Like, what else do we have to compare it to?
Spencer. I don't know.
But that's exactly what happened to Spencer, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you just got tired of dealing with this front office.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think Caleb's the type of guy that you give him long enough, he'll set up a dynasty. Like, it's, I mean, I know college and MLS are different beasts entirely. But I think, and you know, and then that's the other thing, too. I guess it's all about, I guess I don't know how integrated he is or involved he is with T2. I'm assuming him and Vinovich sit down. What do they drink, actually, as a tangent?
Kettle One.
Sit down for drinks. Huh?
I think when I bought Caleb Porter a drink, it was Kettle One.
Yeah, I think he said vodka soda was the drink he was drinking with. So on Soccer Man in Portland.
Oh my goodness, we were like the biggest nerds. Can I just say that?
You know what? I'll take it. You know what? You keep laughing, but I'll finish this thought. Soccer Man in Portland, a couple weeks ago when they interviewed Porter, I think I've referenced this a couple times on this podcast already. Great interview. Good on you, Soccer Man in Portland. I enjoy your work. Porter was talking about what he was drinking when he had that sit down with Liam, and it was a vodka soda. So I asked that question and then remembered that I knew the answer because, like you said, I'm a nerd. Yeah, so, no, I kind of hope that, I think things are going to get better, right? I don't know. I'm not usually one to call for people's heads, and I'm not behind the push to get Porter out of here.
Well, to be honest, I will say that, like, anyone who's seriously saying, like, Porter needs to get out really needs to reevaluate their thought processes about everything in the human experience.
Yeah.
That was like the worst trash talk I've ever had in my life.
Well, yeah, well, you need to reevaluate your whole life. What?
Your decision making is poor.
Your mother would be so disappointed. Yeah.
Not only your mother, but your third grade teacher too.
Oh my God, that's a twist at the heart right there. Like, oh no, but I loved Mrs. Podlinski, you know? Oh gosh.
But hey, if it's so, always look on the bright side of life though. The Sounders suck too.
Which are we gonna talk about that whole Twitter call and response that the front offices did?
No.
Okay. Let's make a point to say that we're not going to talk about it then. Okay.
Yeah.
Just enough for everyone to shake their head as they're listening to this. That's ridiculous. Do you know anything about this kid we just picked up today? Seton?
I do not. I was sitting in the Tualatin Taco Bell drive-thru when I saw the news, and I completely forgot to, like, look more into it when I got home. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, with part of it, I don't mind. I don't mind us getting another young striker.
Why? If I'm sitting here and I'm being serious about the fact that it's, like, the midfield that is the weak area, we have a decent defense, we have a decent, you know, like, attack, but we don't have anything in the middle. And so it just frustrates me that, like, another forward.
Well, I think with the type of midfield that we need, though, I don't know if I want another warm body in the midfield. I think the type of midfield addition that we need is kind of a big one, which I feel like won't happen until the offseason. And I think we have a number of contracts that are going to be up at the end of this year. They'll have more. That's why I'm okay with another young striker, is, you know, we bring them in, his deal's probably done, you know, it's probably an option after 1 year, we can reevaluate if he shows any promise by the end of the year, you know, worst case, sign him to T2, and then in the offseason, really take a look at what we need to improve with the rest of the team. So I feel like by not half-assing a midfield signing halfway through, you know, when we have more options and more resources available, I think, like, that's going to be better. It doesn't help us right now, sure. Like, and maybe that's, I don't know, maybe does that sound like I've given up on the season already?
A little bit, but you know what? I can't say that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's never.
I mean, like, here's the deal, though. Like, everyone's sitting here and, you know, Merritt Paulson bless his rich golden heart. I mean, it's... Like, you can only get online and say so many times, like, this team is going places and we're not that far away from, you know, whatever, a championship. Because the thing is, like, you can look at the standings and, like, spin it however you want when you have 60% of the teams getting into the playoffs, right? But
yeah.
It takes a whole different mindset to, like, completely disregard that and look at your play on the field and be like, even if we get into the playoffs, we're not going to do well.
And that's just, you know what? The thing is, though,
I just honestly believe that. Like, what have we seen so far? I mean, like, we had a decent stretch in the middle of the season, but right now it's like that character and that, like, cardiac kid nature is gone. And it just, it feels like they're mailing it in right now.
I feel like it's proof of concept, though. Like, it showed, at the very least, of what this team is capable of doing when everything clicks. And it sucks that everything has to click to present that, but I feel like that was a proof of concept, right? So, like, if we get everything going, we get a good Valeri, and then he's throwing another exciting player like Milano, like, I feel like we could play even better than that once everything gels. So, I feel like if we can limp into the playoffs, I feel the opposite. I feel like if we can get into the playoffs with that promise, that might be enough of a carrot to dangle, you know, this for us to make a huge run. Like I don't know. Maybe that's not true. I'm not sure. I don't know. I actually am questioning everything. Your pessimism is rubbing off on me, and now.
Well, I think we're both kind of feeling it right now because we've dedicated the bulk of this podcast to just complaining about our home team.
Which we actually have been really good about not doing.
It's true. And the fact of the matter is when we talk about that 0-0 draw that the Timbers had.
Yeah.
Right? With San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why we have to avoid just complaining about the Timbers the whole time, because that was the highest scoring week in MLS history, right? So,
yeah.
Leave it to Portland that, like, on the highest scoring week in MLS history, 0-0.
And honestly, I mean, we're one kick away from 3 points, right? If Valeri thinks that, it's a different outcome. You know, it's one of those things that's, I don't know. I'm still cautiously optimistic, I suppose. But you know what? Instead of complaining about our home team, let's celebrate our home team. Because I did go to the Thorns game the other night. And 5-2 felt amazing.
Right. That I was watching it, and it was really fun. And the thing is, like, contrasting it to our other home team, like, the Thorns have sucked all season. Like, they haven't been good. But in the minute...
They were great the first four games. It looked promising, and then they fell off.
Right. But, like, so after this big, long stretch of suck, like, I was watching that game, and I could tell in the first 4 or 5 minutes that they just had a different swagger, you know?
Yeah.
And they weren't taking anything. And they were like, we're, you know, screw you, Boston. Like, we're going to freaking run all over you and score a bajillion goals, and that's what happened.
Well, and they treated Boston, they made Boston look like the bottom of the table, which is one of those things where, in the past, the Thorns, I mean, they haven't held the Timbers, but the Thorns, they've, you know, when they've been playing teams under bottom of the table, they play like them, you know, like, they get brought down to that level instead of showing their real talent, because whatever you can say about the Thorns, they have a lot of talented players. And last night, you could tell, Jody Taylor was great. Before she got pulled off, she got her first goal for the Thorns. Her pony was incredible. It was the third goal, that chip over the top, that she just kind of calmly collected and finished. It looked like a good team. And I guess we actually, we just picked up another player today. I'm feeling better about the Thorns than I have in a long time. And I like that feeling. So, I just
wanted to...
Wait,
you're telling me it feels better to root for a winning team than it does a losing team?
Well, it's not just the results, though. The look on the players' faces when I left the field, you know?
Right.
Because it's, you know, after, gosh, you know, just watching them on the field, I mean, after the Seattle games... They didn't look like they were enjoying life, you know? Like, and beyond, I want the team to do well. Like, obviously, obviously you want good results. But, you know, you watch and you spend so much time following these players that you want them to be happy too, right? And it just finally looked like they're enjoying playing soccer again.
Mm-hmm.
Shim looked so happy. And it was, and Beto's, you know how I love Beto's. Beto's looked happy. Everyone looked happy, and I was happy. And my nose was lined with red this morning because I was sitting right behind the smoke. And it just 5 times went off. It was amazing. It was actually a little bit alarming when I blew my nose this morning. There was so much red. I was like, oh, my God, I'm dying.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, no, that's just the players.
Yeah.
So
definitely. And I'd regret not being able to make it because, you know, you love the Thorns, and when they win, you like it.
And honestly, you know, it's nice too.
I'm like the worst commentator ever because, like, I'm just like, yeah, winning is good. If you want to win, play harder, do better.
Well, you know, if no one says the like obvious stuff.
I'm all about keeping it simple.
Yeah. No, there's only a couple more home games, too. So Sunday against Chicago, right? Which who are currently second in the league. So that's going to be a tough game. Hopefully, I haven't actually been following Chicago. I hope Karina is still starting for him. It'll be nice to have her back in town. Oh, I love Karina LeBlanc. She's fabulous. Then I think, yeah, there's only a few more games left in their season, and I feel like their last home game, I need to actually confirm this, their last home game is the same day as the Seattle away, the Timbers that's coming up.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, which really sucks because, well, one, it kind of would have been nice to do Seattle away, but I'm not going to miss the last Torrance home game, but also, I really hope that they don't get a lackluster crowd because of that. Mm-hmm. Because I know, I mean, they are separate. I don't know. What I'm about to say, I feel, you know, they are separate fan bases, but at the same time, there's a lot of crossover. And there are plenty of people that I've talked to that choose the Thorns over the Timbers, but I feel like having that draw of Seattle away on the same day might pull away some of the fans, so.
For sure. And I mean, I remember there was that one game where they won by a lot, and it was during the World Cup final on the same day as Seattle away. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
because it was just, I was so shocked that, like, in terms of all the scheduling, like, it was a Seattle away during the FIFA World Cup final, and then, like, the Thorns are playing on the same day at home, and I was just like, this is like, terrible logistics. I don't know how this ended up happening.
I don't know who's in charge of this, but I hope they get fired.
But, yeah, so, one more thing, though, going back to the whole, it was a high-scoring week. I mean, the whole reason why they were able, I mean, all of it was, a lot of it was end-to-end action, right? You know, in other words, crappy defense. But you, like, did you watch the Real Salt Lake DC United game?
Those goals were insane. That wasn't just like crappy defense. That was like any dream you ever had of hitting an insane outside the foot shot from outside the box, like that Sean Kemp goal. He's a fucking right back.
Yeah.
You know, who, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, DC United fans, he doesn't typically hit shots like that, and he just hit it, and it just wonder goal, you know?
And it was just one of those things where, like, I think I was watching the Columbus game instead. They were going on at the same time or whatever, and I was like, oh, you know, DC United's the best team in the league right now. Maybe I'll flip it over. And then it was 2-1 Real Salt Lake, and I was like, oh, this will be an upset, like, you know, and I just kind of, like, was monitoring it, and after halftime, I checked in, and it was, like, 3-2 DC United, and I was like, what is going on?
Right,
and then I was like, okay, the game's probably over, but then I saw how much time was left. Like, they still had, like, a half hour left to play. And so, like, then I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this game. And then
and it was
just,
back and forth,
and then
too,
it just got, like, ridiculous. Like, and it was just absurd. Like, it was the 10 minutes, right? There was 4 goals in 10 minutes. That was the one that just, like, blew me away, you know? It was Taylor Kemp, that was the back and forth part, right? There
was
10 minutes.
Super exciting.
So
like,
it was 2-2, and then Taylor Kemp got a goal to put DC up, and then 3 minutes later, Real Salt Lake scored again, and then 1 minute later, Espendola scored, right? And then Monsalve for Real Salt Lake, and then DC United scored twice to put it out of reach. But that was just unreal, quick, one goal after another, you know, alternating lead, and it was just unreal and really fun to watch, you know.
It was well, and it's, you know, it's, so I mean, if memory serves, the Columbus Orlando was up a 5-2 where Orlando beat Columbus by 5-2, I think. I don't have the results in front of me, but that one, I feel like there was the winning team had like 3 unanswered goals. the game. You know, it was a high scoring game, but it wasn't really competitive.
It was 5-2 Orlando and Columbus.
Yeah, and I feel like they put in 3 or 4 unanswered, and just kind of just. They're like, you know what? We're gonna win the game, and they just turned it on.
And your boy Laren had a brace.
Yeah, no, seriously, that guy is—he's exciting. That's how we followed up the hat trick the week before. So,
and the best part of it, though, let's laugh at Colin, who actually scored a goal, but then he had an own goal at the very end.
I feel like that's not the first time he's done that in his career. Like, I don't have the facts to back it up. But I really feel like I've seen that.
That seems like something that would be in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, I can score. I mean, it comes with an own goal every 4 games that I score. But, you know, it's kind of worth it.
Right. So, yeah, in terms of ridiculous things. So, I watched some NASL before the Thorns game, I realized, like, oh, this game, NASL's free on ESPN3, right? And so I saw that... the Fort Lauderdale Strikers were playing the Atlanta Silverbacks.
Ooh, that sounds like a good game.
Right? It was a good game. It was fun to watch. And former Timber James Marceline plays for the Strikers.
He got a red card, yeah?
Yeah, he got a red card. But the part that was just so funny about this whole scenario, right, is because, like, we've talked on this podcast. Remember, like, I think our first or second, third episode was about the U.S. Open Cup madness with Clint Dempsey. Right? And then I was like, yeah. remember how douchey that was? Like, the Atlanta Silverbacks in the Open Cup were even worse. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
Right? So, like, the Atlanta Silverbacks had, you know, I think 5 red cards total, like, that game. Like, it was an absurd amount. And so, anyway, the Silverbacks were playing the Strikers. And the Strikers in the second half had 2 red cards, right? And they were already playing 2 men down. And then at the very end, like, in stoppage time, it was almost like a Will Johnson thing where, like, the game was pretty much over. And then Marceline got the 3rd red card.
Was it for non-football reasons?
Right. He got a red for non-football reasons.
I only hope.
And it was just really fun to watch because then the commentators brought up that infamous Winalda Silverbacks game, and because they're like, I've never seen anything like this, and the other guy's like, well, actually, and I was just like, God bless the NASL, like, this is great.
Did you see that some of the players from the first iteration of the NASL came out and said that the league was better late 70s than it is than MLS is today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's one of those things, too, where, you know, I was on the MLS subreddit, and they're like, in other news, they also said that all the music in the 70s was better than any of the trash to be, you know, it sounds like old people saying that the world's going to shit, but, yeah, they came out and said that, you know, like, the league had Pele and Best and all of these amazing players, and pretty much their logic was, they had Pele. Pele was been voted the most influential player of all time.
I remember when MLS brought Beckham over, and Pele was like, "Oh, he's not a good footballer. He's a celebrity." Like, you know, like, I remember this tension isn't new. Like, it's always been there.
Yeah.
But I would argue personally that, like, when NASL made that investment to bring those guys over, like Best and Pele, like, it was way more of an investment than bringing in, like, Lampard at the end of his career or Perlow, you know? Like, I don't think it's comparable, but who knows?
And also, if memory serves, they were playing Summer League as well at the time, so these players, you know, it wasn't as much of a commitment to the club because they could still go back to Europe, although I don't think Pele did, but... yeah, no, totally different things, but yeah, you know, they came out and said that obviously the NASL back then was better than MLS now, so. Yeah. I think kind co-host and valued listeners, that I might need to call it quits. But quickly before I do, just for this episode, I'm not calling out the end of $2 domestics or anything. This is how I break the news.
I I was gonna say, I was like, are you really leaving us, man? What's going on?
No, just for the evening, just for the evening. We're looking. So what? If you're looking to the schedule this weekend, what game jumps out to you, or have you? Flash.
Let me check them out.
Do any.
So, let's see. I'm literally pulling them up as we speak.
I think the New York game is going to be interesting. The Red Bulls just signed their new young designated player. He's 25. Verone, who is supposedly a pretty exciting player to watch. I think that would go well. I think also, you know, the other times that this year that Red Bulls have played NYCFC, it's been a really good game.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, like, I don't want to sound like a sellout, but like, it's been entertaining watching those two teams go at it. You know?
No, totally. And it's one of those things that even if it is a manufactured rivalry, it's still entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, LA Galaxy versus Seattle, because LA will probably end up putting six on them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're bringing in Diego Dos Santos. They pretty much already came out and said, Arena said that Dos Santos will start. I think he said he'll play. He'll make his debut. I don't know if he said he'll start or not.
Which will be really fun to watch.
It will. And I think they said there's rumors that Obafemi Martins might finally be coming back, which good for Seattle because he's an exciting player. Hopefully it doesn't end the poor run that Seattle's on because I've been really enjoying that.
Yeah. But I will. I would say that in terms of like matching up, in terms of having like teams in form that will actually be pretty entertaining, would be Sporting Kansas City and Toronto.
Yeah, actually, and hopefully that's going to be really interesting because that Sporting Kansas City midfield it's good. I mean, hell though, so is Toronto. Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I have a feeling though that one might be one of those ones where you get the unstoppable force, immovable object, and it ends up not being. Like, that one seems like both teams are good enough that it might end up just kind of canceling each other out.
You mean, like, anytime I look at, like, a fixture and I'm like, oh, these two are going to be really entertaining, and then it ends up being 0-0?
Yeah. I hope that's not the case because, those are two really good informed teams, and I think it could be an amazing game. My gut just tells me that one's going to not be as impressive as it should be. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully you're right. I think the LA Seattle. Hopefully LA does put in six on them. Montreal DC I think is another one actually that I'm pretty excited about. Piatti has been ridiculous for Montreal lately. Although they are going to be without Laurent Simon, he's not a designated player actually, but their center back who's been solid form all year. So. Drogba won't be playing, but did we talk about Drogba? No. But what are we going to say about Drogba?
I think I would be perfectly fine if we just completely ignored all these lame publicity signings.
Well,
I'm glad that he's here. It'll be fun watching him, but like, all right, we know your MO, MLS, like, you're getting MLS or ESPN to cover you. You don't need crappy underground podcast that 20 people listen to. It's against my principles, Phil.
Your principle. Your
I'm
principle.
Slamming my hand on my dresser right now.
I'm just assuming you're banging your shoe against the desk.
But yada yada yada, Drogba is going to be here and he's going to destroy the league even though he's on the verge of his 40s. Same old story. Same as it ever was.
Now we don't have to see all the rumors about him coming to the league anymore, though. That's actually probably the best thing about it. Is we no longer have to hear the, oh my god. Actually, this summer took care of a lot of those rumors. You know, because Lampard was always rumored about coming, and Gerrard. Actually, Gerrard wasn't rumored a ton. But anyway, all these players that are actually here now, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. Which at least it will force the narrative to change a little bit. But anyway, as I mentioned, feedback. We actually started to get feedback today, which was great.
Yeah, and I'm gonna try and figure out how much I'm gonna leave in about Donald Trump. This one might be a pretty fun one to edit.
Right, actually take that out. And if you're hearing this and there's nothing about Donald Trump,
blame me.
Blame child.
All right, man.
Well, send us your feedback. Let us know how much you hate it at all. Let us know how offended you are that you can't read a transcript. Unless, of course, Chuckle does that. And then you can also blame Chuckles, but it's a good kind of blame.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, till next time.
It's been a pleasure as always, and I will talk to you guys later.
All right, later, man.